and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our city, and an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the back.
And welcome to the broadcast, the National Intel Report. I'm Chris Gruner, filling in for John Stadmiller today. And I do have an apology to make to Dan there. He did call in at almost the close of the show, but we had time to take him. I just did not see him on the board here. So, Dan, I apologize. Missed your call. And certainly we have to get to the bottom of all these things that are going on in our country. We've got to understand the pictures in place. Everybody has their own opinions, but those that do the most research needs to be heard the most. And certainly that's the problem we see today. And I see China is getting more and more economically, strategically powerful as they've purchased MG Rover. That's the Chinese company's what is it? Nanjing Automotive has secured ownership of MG Rover for an unknown sum after a three-way bidding battle spread over 3 months. So here we see this buildup of this Chinese, communist Chinese economy. And well, what is our economy doing, listeners? GM's on a downslide. GM's closing factories. GM and Ford are offering extreme discounts to purchase their vehicles right now. And so we see a slow but sure change of our economy going south of the border and overseas. This increase in CAFTA, the spreading to Central America, the NAFTA doctrine, and the NAFTA doctrine and the NAFTA volume 1 and 2 are on our website, AmericanExpose.com. Today we're going to be joined with Ed Waller, who's allied with John Ainsworth, and he's going to sort of direct the show today as he is the guest for John Stadmiller. And when everything's going on the way it is, people, you've got to be educated. You've got to educate yourselves, educate others, and bring about proper directions to secure the restoration of a constitutional republic. State sovereignty is most important. State sovereignty, the 50 sovereign states have to fight this Kelo decision, where obviously the Supreme Court, a handful of judges, have determined that eminent domain can take anyone's property throughout this country. Being that that's the case, every state in the union has to pass legislation to stop that. And every state in the union, I believe, can do that. And there is the crux of the situation, people. Ed, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Chris. Good to be here with you.
Nice to have you with us as well. This eminent domain ruling was quite alarming to a lot of people, but as you see the direction things have turned, it sort of had to happen that way, don't you think?
Well, actually, the ruling is not out of line with the state of affairs as they exist today in this country. I was not surprised by it.
There you go.
The Supreme Court made the absolute correct decision.
Uh-huh.
Now, you want to know why I said that, right? I will guarantee you that the attorneys representing the landowners never at any time informed the court that these people were citizens of the United States of America. They went in there as citizens of the U.S. The court has ruled numerous times U.S. citizens have no rights except the unqualified right to live in any of the territories of the United States. They don't have the Bill of Rights. They have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was absolutely proper that they ruled this. It just woke people up to the fact that they're not in Kansas anymore with Toto.
We'll be back to continue with Ed Waller. Listeners, stay with us. We're on the Intel Report, the National Intel Report. Chris Gruner filling in for John Stadmiller today.
Get ready for for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gruner, filling in for John today. And certainly we do have a caller on board. But Ed, this is your show today. Your directions, we're going to listen to where you're coming from. We'll engineer the callers from your perspective and get your read on these callers as they call in. And we'll hold Jeff over for a few minutes. What was your desire for today's broadcast to get to the listeners, Ed?
Well, John Stadtmiller and I had a conversation about 10 days ago on some of the stuff we were working on, and he wanted it brought up on the show, and I'm going to do my best to do that today.
Okay.
There is a disconnect, and starting with the eminent domain case is great. A lot of states are now going to run around to Band-Aid something the Supremes did.
Right.
Instead of asking the question, given what the Constitution says, and it's the obvious intent of the founders with respect to property rights, how could they have made that decision? And that's why I want people to kind of take off the blinders and realize that the reason they can make that decision is because our nation has been bifurcated into two types of citizens. U.S. citizens, which you basically enter into that jurisdiction by signing an SS-5 and getting a Social Security card. You check the little box that says U.S. citizen. You check that little box where it says U.S. citizen on your passport application, on your driver's license, etc. And over the years, since 1861 forward, the Supreme Court, the Congress, and the President have, in essence, redefined what a republic is. Senate document 93-549, 1973, you know, we're in a constant state of war. The bankruptcy in 33. There are some cases that came before the Supreme Court, known as the Switch in Time cases and the Insular cases, that redefined interstate travel, interstate business, to mean that intrastate, the business inside the state, affects the business between the states, and therefore the feds can come in the states. And this whole gamut of things happened to change who we are, what we're about, and the way we're run. Now, was it deceptive? Absolutely. Is it proper? No. Did we send our elected representatives up to Congress and Washington to take an oath to deceive and basically screw us? No. And they did provide a remedy. And this is the disconnect that has got me kind of puzzled this week, is we have found in Title 8 and Title 28 and various decisions where you can go back and get your citizenship. You can what's called sever your legal relationship with the U.S. and you can be restored, and it's all wonderful. The problem is you can't participate in a political process anywhere. You know, on your voter registration card, you have to say you're a U.S. citizen. And in North Carolina here, John Ainsworth has done a lot of work with the Board of Elections to say, where do I vote? I'm not a U.S. citizen. I'm a state citizen first and therefore a citizen of the U.S. of A. Where's my government? Where do I go? And, of course, they don't have any answer for that. So what do we do? You know, what do we do as a nation? And we're trying to put a report together. It'll look like a book when we get done. And we'll make it available to RBN and John and everybody. And I hope people will take it to their law enforcement officers, to any FBI agents they know, any CIA agents, anyone who can be shown that it is the Matrix. What is out there is not what you think it is. And all the states should openly do their own investigation on why this lady who owned her own property could have her property taken and not just simply pass a law to Band-Aid it. It's a symptom of a huge disease that has run rampant through this country for the last 140 years. Any questions, Chris? What would you like me to dialogue on? Let's take that caller, if you don't mind. Uh-oh. Jeff in New Mexico. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah.
What's the nature of your question today?
If you're talking about eminent domain and, you know, like in the times of the colonialists in America.
Yeah.
I feel like the king's control over property rights is probably less oppressive than the way things are now, because you could, a colonist could have a little cabin out in the middle of nowhere with hundreds and thousands of acres around him. He might not necessarily own it, and he might have to pay taxes to the king, but he actually has more privacy than somebody that supposedly owns their own home now.
Yeah, but I think we need to disabuse you of this mistaken belief that you own the property. This lady did not have her property taken from her. The state simply reassigned. If you look at Senate Document 43 from 1933, it says clearly, all property resides in the state, and we are mere user.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, it's there. Now, did they have the authority to make that proclamation? I don't think so. But the Supreme Court looks at the laws of Congress and applies them. And by doing that, they came to the conclusion that if the state wanted to reassign the ownership of some property, they could do that. And they did.
Yeah, I think my point, I guess, is that it seems like the really wealthy people, they benefit more by these property rights in the Constitution than what the majority ordinary people that rent in the rent from the slumlords like Rockefeller or whoever, you know. Rockefeller owns 500 apartments or whatever and gets rent on all those. He's worse than what the king was back in the colonialist time, because he's the way the system is benefiting those really rich people. The Constitution helps them, but how is it helping the ordinary people that own property?
Okay, well, once again, the Constitution's been set aside, and obviously the people that set it aside were wealthy, or they had designs on becoming wealthy, and they had an agenda. So is it any surprise that they are now implementing the just rewards or the spoils of their war on the Constitution to help themselves and hurt us? Mm-hmm. See that? I don't want a bunch of people running around angry. Okay, what we need in this country is knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's understand why the Supreme Court does not make willy-nilly decisions. They didn't do this now just because they felt like, hey, let's get the Americans all riled up with this decision. Okay? We're at a sea change in this country. The USA Patriot Act was just the beginning of it. If you read the USA Patriot Act, it totally destroys the rights of what you thought you had under the Bill of Rights and your God-given unalienable rights. So therefore, how could they do this? Well, you're a U.S. citizen without any rights. It's no longer a government. It's not a republic. It's a corporation since 1871.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to get to a position of understanding so we can take down the anger and look for solutions among our fellow Americans.
Okay, well, since you're talking about the Bill of Rights, if somebody's a felon, like a lesser, a third-degree felon or something, and you think that automatically means they couldn't be a well-regulated militia member in the future? I mean, like, say somebody shoots a dog with their firearm and, you know, inappropriately, and then they're charged with a felony. I don't even know if that would be a felony, but say it was, and then they permanently lose their gun rights. That seems like that's just an interpretation of the Constitution, because the militia members could say, yeah, this guy made one mistake, but he's not going to be an unregulated militia member for the future. And just because you have a short haircut and clean shaven like our National Guard is right now doesn't mean you're necessarily a well-regulated militia member. It's just all opinion and interpretation, in my opinion.
All right, well, okay. Well, here's another great topic that needs to be addressed. The whole process whereby this quote-unquote government has criminalized what should be court actions. Okay, for instance, you talk about shooting your neighbor's dog. If it was an accident, that is a civil tort. You have damaged your neighbor. You should be able to sue him civilly. And this comes right out of the Bible. You know, if you kill your neighbor's cow, you're supposed to give him a cow and three more to make up for it. That's where the whole concept of treble damages comes from in our court system, is the Bible. Okay, but now what they do is they, well, they don't want you to have guns, especially discharging them in the city. They don't want this. They don't want that. They don't want you driving a certain way. They don't want you dressing a certain way. They don't want you behaving certain ways. They criminalize the act. You have a dog without a license. Well, do you have the right to own property? Yes. Is a dog property? Yes. A license is permission granted by the government to do that, which would otherwise be illegal. So why do you need a license? And again, in Remeter, 1869, when you go and get that license, you've entered into a contract with the state, and you're going to have to perform in such a way. We've all gotten used to going in and getting this stuff, but they criminalize things now so the state can become a party to the incident. Before, if you shot your neighbor's dog by accident, the two of you could either try and work it out, or you can go to court and have it settled. That's the way we did it in this land. But now the sheriff's going to come out, the police are going to come out, there may be a DA look into this. The state's going to say you violated the law, and you're going to be fined and imprisoned. Well, you may never get your dog back because your neighbor's now in jail, lost his means of making a living, and the state is the one that has bonded the prisoner and made money on it.
We'll be right back to continue. Jeff, stay with us if you wish. We'll be back.
Yeah.
All right. Stay with us, listeners. Welcome back to the broadcast. We're with Ed Waller. Jeff is with us as well. Ed, what is your website?
It's ncrepublic.org.
ncrepublic.org. Okay. And you're working with John Ainsworth on this.
John and I work very closely together. I am a senator, as is he, in the lawful state of North Carolina, which was reestablished in 1997.
Very, very good. Now, Jeff, are we getting where you want to go, Jeff, are we?
Well, you mentioned something at the beginning of the other show,
yes.
Your show.
Yes.
About the Communist Party advocates violent overthrow of the U.S. government or something like that?
This is what the U.S. Code is saying.
And it still says that?
It says it in the U.S. Code. Do you have a computer?
I believe if you say that, but...
Look, it's right on my website, at the top of the website, from the U.S. Code. It says right in the U.S. Code, it says, as I'm scrolling up there, communism... a conspiracy is what you click to, and in Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman Numeral 4, Section 841, and this is just the first sentence I'm giving you, the Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. Now, that's just the first sentence of a very large paragraph. And you can refer to that, and that's what I was trying to refer to you yesterday when you called in about it, and it was actually down on my site. Well, Darren reestablished it. I believe it was Darren or Dennis. They reestablished it on my site to where it's readable today on my website. And so I'm just going by what the U.S. Code has written in it.
Well, you know, the Catholic Church is an internationalist thing, too, like the Communist Party, and a lot of Mexicans coming here believe the Catholic Church, and if they get too much influence, there isn't going to be abortion rights. They rule that abortion rights are constitutional, I guess, because life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Maybe man and woman decide they don't want another child because they want to use their income for travel or something. And And then you could say, well, they should put it up for adoption, but they don't want, the woman doesn't want to go through with the pregnancy. They want to do something else with their life. So the Catholic Church is interfering with those people's right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So the Catholic Church could be considered overthrow of our order.
Well,
maybe not violent, but democratic overthrow of what our order is.
In my opinion, the Vatican is evil. in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. And we're all encouraged and to have our opinions. But you know, as far as my website goes and the information on that site, I just deal with the documentation and direction things have turned. I mean, why in the world would we have a global fire monitoring center from the United Nations system monitoring all the fires in the globe if not to set off fires to move people to sustainable communities in the future? You see?
I don't believe in these compact cities or sustainable communities. And
whether you believe it or believe in them or not, this is what is being designed for us.
Uh-huh.
You see, this is what's being designed for us, and it's very well documented. Agenda 21 is 13 years into implementation, and Agenda 21 is the plan for humanity on the planet for the 21st century. Everything we do, including the World Toilet Organization. That's a fact. You go to my Agenda 21 section and you scroll down, you'll find the World Toilet Organization. So they have all plans of everything that we're ever going to do for the 21st century well into implementation. And the Clinton administration's President's Council on Sustainable Development was very paramount in that, which was done by executive order in 93, and I don't see the PCSD in place right now doing anything right now during the Bush administration, although if Gore was voted in as president, the PCSD would be well underway even further, I would believe. I still say this. I say Al Gore is very dangerous. If you ever read his book, Earth in the Balance, you would come up with the same conclusions I would, I believe. And this is where the crux of the problem lies with all our problems, Ed and John Ainsworth. People don't want to read anymore.
Exactly. And actually, we've come to the point that, you know, giving some people a little bit of information is going to get them in trouble.
There you go.
They're going to go get themselves in trouble because they're not willing to gain a full and comprehensive understanding of what they're dealing with.
Think of how many people are in the hoosegow right now because they didn't arm themselves with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Dr. Ward Dean, who's fighting his IRS battle, who's giving every minute of his spare time to researching this because he wants a win in court this fall. And so we have Dr. Ward MD up there on our website. We're going to bring him on my show next week, hopefully. And, you know, Jeff,
he should absolutely call a 902 hearing and put a copy of Cracking the Code into the evidentiary record, and it would be over.
Is that it?
It basically, that's it.
Okay, now look, he's working with Beat the IRS. This is a website I've not looked at, but it's the McPherson Group Attorneys. I don't know whether you ever heard about them or not. But
no, I'm not familiar with them.
Well, hopefully I can connect you up with Dr. Dean. Because
I'd be happy to talk to him because we are beating the IRS every day now that and the IRS went after Pete Hendrickson, the guy that authored Cracking the Code. They went after him three times, and finally the DOJ said, we're not going to pursue this any longer because everything in the book is true. He didn't do anything wrong.
Very good. We'll be back to continue. Jeff, a parting shot when we return.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio show.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Chris Gunner filling in for John today. Keep in mind that pledge line is open for you listeners to support this network. 800-724-2719 is the number. 800-724-2719. Your pledges will be most appreciated for the continuance of this network. ncrepublic.org is Ed Waller's site, working with John Ainsworth from Tiger, Truth in Government, Everyone's Responsible. Let's take Jeff to a parting shot. Jeff, do you have a parting shot? We have to move on, Jeff.
Yeah, you mentioned ConocoPhillips not letting the refinery workers bring a gun to work.
That's correct.
I think these private enterprise employers are afraid of the government, and they're interfering with people's rights. Like my idea of riding bikes, and you could ride a bicycle to work and have a firearm my pistol in a holster and go to work, and you just put it in your locker. They don't want that, though. They, you know, they're afraid of the people, the government.
If you have a Social Security number, you don't have any rights. So they're doing nothing wrong. People are going to have to get the status right to get the rights back. That's all.
Yeah.
Jeff, I appreciate your phone call.
Okay.
Thank you. There's the point and the crux of the problem. Let's move to Joe in Massachusetts. The number to call, listeners, 800-313-9443. No question is ignorant at this point in time, because we've been born into the land of ignoration. And this is just the bottom line, the way it is. So feel free to call in 800-313-9443. And Joe in Massachusetts, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Chris. I forgot the name of your guest. What's his name?
Ed Waller.
Hi, Ed. How are you doing today?
Good. Hello. Good to meet you.
I'm blind, and I've been through a lot. I've talked to John about this, and I have mixed feelings. I hope you guys, maybe I can convince this network would do a show on blind people. Maybe you'd be interested. I'll talk to you sometime off the air. If you have voicemail, Chris, I'll leave my voicemail.
That would be great. I work with blind people already.
Well, you know what hell we go through with agencies and states, and products for us are very expensive. And
yes.
I come from a family which dumped me off, so in a way, I'm for good government. I mean, I don't have as much faith as you and John do, and I agree with you about the IRS. There's also a guest, before I get into my topic, you may want to have on. He beat the IRS. He was on the Power Hour. I think his name was, what's that guy's name? Oh, Bannister.
Joe Bannister.
Yeah.
An employee.
A good friend of mine.
Well, get him on. I hope you will have him on.
Certainly.
I think because he did it, but he says, be careful how you do it, because a couple people have been beat up by the IRS, by the marshals, and one guy called in on one of the other networks and had the crap beat out of him, too. So it has to be done right, and a lot of help. And there's also people on that don't have a Social Security, but then people like me who've been abandoned, you wouldn't get any state services. Even though it's not good, you wouldn't get anything. So...
What do you think of that thought, Ed?
Well,
when people are so dependent.
I mean, not to be insensitive, because I'm going to have to get all the way through my comment for him to fully understand, but
well,
I absolutely am against any sort of socialist state services. You've got to remember, governments are created among men to protect rights. That's it. They can't redistribute wealth. They can only protect your rights. Now, do you have a right to a job? Do you have a right to... they don't have a right to a job. Do you have a right to try and make a living? Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, keep in mind, Ed, shut your eyes and keep those eyes shut for the rest of your life and think about how difficult it's going to be to survive in the future.
I've
got to get all the way through my comment.
Okay?
The bottom line is that things were a lot better 100 years ago before the government tried to fix all the problems. Government has not solved a single problem yet. I do a lot of alternative health research, and I can tell you that one of the worst things the government has done is to degrade our health so that more people are blind, more people are obese, more people die of cancer. So there's no way anyone will convince me that overall the government has helped anyone.
Okay, Ed, can I comment?
Sure.
I realize your view, and I don't blame you at all. And I understand John's view, and the beauty of this network and a few others, and this especially, you're allowed to have total opposites. Like the other day he had a guest on, De Lotaro or something. The guest wasn't even very polite when he hung up. He just hung up because some of us agree with him. You say the government, which is true, in theory, you're correct. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. What do you do with people like me who've been mistreated for years by the family? Neighbors wouldn't get involved when there's violence. I'll tell Chris the whole story off the air sometime. You know, I had to attend a state school. They depended on the government to send me to school, which they meant, well, a lot of people were nice at the school, but there's a lot of problems. And when families don't get involved, you see, I have mixed feelings. And one part, I have split feelings. I agree with you. Maybe we need a Marine boot camp to teach people how to behave themselves and treat people right. I went into a store. I found this place up in Philadelphia. Now, you may or may not agree with this. He doesn't want people coming into his store browsing for records. It's a mail order, but you have to call. And if you hear it on the radio, you supposedly can get it if you know it. But you know damn well how hard that is. A lot of people don't know the names of the records. They like to browse. He can throw you out. There are people on your side, and I don't blame you for your view, that says You can smoke anywhere. You should be able to discriminate. I don't think that's right. We have to have a check and balance. And yet our government is wrong. Okay, but if we had a good government, and I spoke to some other people.
You've got the best government money can buy
now.
What because we're operating under theories as opposed to sound principles.
What I mean is good government is honest people, then she would have supported some of these programs. But she understands where I'm coming from. If we didn't have a government, I'd be out in the street by now, Ed. Do you see what I'm saying?
But you can't take your mind out of today's world paradigm. Okay, if no one had to pay income tax, like I don't.
You're very lucky.
If the 50 titles of the U.S. Code was shrunk down to one volume like it should be, if there was no Department of Education at the federal level, if our military was the size that it should be to protect our borders, if everything was in it, there would be so much abundance of wealth in this nation that you could get everything you wanted and more.
That's what Ron Paul told me. I agree with you. But how in the hell is that going to happen? Chris, do you pay income tax? I'm just curious. Ed, you're very lucky. You don't get beat up or...
I haven't paid income tax since 1979.
Well, you're very... I wish if I ever get a job, I wish I could do it. But, you know...
Well, don't wish. Research, learn the law. Thomas Jefferson said, know the law and be well-disposed to use it.
Well, it's hard for me as a visually impaired person. Plus, I have no help. I have some medical problems, but that's beside the point.
Well, it is your problem, and it's a very severe problem because most of us don't know your problem.
Yeah,
and it's a severe problem.
But people need help when they're doing this because that's what Bannister says.
But I can tell you, this very government that we're dealing with, look, the cure for AIDS has been in the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office since 1991, Einstein College of Medicine. We use it regularly. It works great. We can cure. We have a 99.6% fatal cancer cure rate.
Mm.
Okay, the common cold around the people I know is 4 hours at worst case.
Now listen, Ed, do you suppose this Codex Alimentarius passage is going to help to restrict what you're doing?
If it gets passed.
I think that's its intention is because we're getting smart and they don't want us to do that. They want us to be dying, not living long.
There you go. There
but
you
Ed,
go.
How do you get these people out of the government and change it around? It's going to be an awful lot. It may or may not be able to happen because we're so entrenched and there's so much greed today. And I said that John agrees with me and a few other people. There's so much greed, like in the hurricanes in Florida. They were price gouging.
It took hundreds of years to get here, and I know it's not going to happen overnight. But these people say, well, it'll never happen, so don't bother trying. I'm sorry, I can't bring my children up in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to sell out their future because the task is difficult or the yoke is heavy.
Are you outside the Social Security system, Ed?
Absolutely. I'm not even a U.S. citizen.
Well, how do you live? Do you get government benefits? I mean, if something, God forbid,
I wouldn't take a dollar from the government if I was starving to death.
What if you were sent to an emergency room, you were in a car accident, God forbid? How would they help you?
Yes, they don't have any choice. The Hippocratic Oath says they don't have any choice. I don't need the government for that.
Okay. But then they would have to send you the hospital bill. Like, let's say you had to spend 3 months in a hospital. You would have a huge hospital bill.
Okay. So what's the problem? I'm willing to accept that.
Problem is, a lot of people don't have the money to pay that off, and they get their house.
I didn't say I had the money. I said I will accept financial responsibility.
Well, what does that mean? You would do your best you could?
I don't really want to go into a whole lot of details on that because it would bring up a can of worms.
Okay.
But you got to remember, due to H.R. 192, the government has given you a huge exemption. You can't pay your bills anyway.
Yeah.
There is no money.
That's
okay,
true,
it's an illusion that you can pay your bills. Pay your bills means to extinguish a debt. The only thing you can do is move this debt around because they took the money out of the system.
The reason I'm asking, because I had a friend who was in the hospital for an emergency room. His bill was like $14,000 or more, $4,000 or something like that. He couldn't pay, so he's on SSI, but he's getting a little rent return, you know, every year against his landlord. Gives back money from tax or something for the rent. And they're going to take the $800 out.
Okay. There's billions of dollars every year that the hospitals have access to in grants that's not spent.
Yeah,
your friend could go get access to them.
You mean he could get a grant from where
the hospital gets the grant to take care of bills that aren't paid. That's correct.
The reason I'm asking is because I hear Matthew Lesko say, get a grant from the government for this, get a grant from...
Now, most of this is private grant money, believe it or not.
Really?
Yep. So I've helped a number of people go in and get very large bills taken care of for, you know, 10, 15 cents on the dollar.
He says, get a grant for paying some bills. Get a grant for stuff.
No, the hospital has a grant. All you have to do is go into the hospital and say, I'm indigent, I can't afford this. You guys have alternative monies to help settle this. What do you have?
Why are hospitals going bankrupt today? They say they don't have it. Is it because the executives are taking too much money, like in the airline industry?
I don't know about any particular cases, but there's a number of reasons why this is happening. You got to remember, the way the system is built today, and this Nikola Tesla said it best, funds or money is a yoke or a throttle on innovation.
Okay.
You know, I go into the grocery store and there's somebody collecting money for multiple sclerosis. There's somebody collecting money for this. And all it is to make sure that we have very little to do God's work on this planet with. Okay? I laugh at these people. Multiple sclerosis, no problem. Been taking care of it for years.
Yeah.
Okay? But they throttle the knowledge that we need to live a better life because that's how they stay in power.
And it's not the guy that's doing the collecting's job. He doesn't know that he just, like the Salvation.
Well, those people are awful ruthless and seem to enjoy destroying people's lives an awful lot.
Well, what about the Salvation Army? I give to them, and I've given to your network. I just started giving a little to this network. Are you for the Salvation Army?
I have contributed in the past. I owned my own company, and we did all that, the Salvation Army. I've limited it now because, to me, anyone that's a 501c3, to me, is evil. If they're truly doing the right work, they don't need that designation. I will not go to a 501c3 church.
Really? Wow.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Not.
I can understand.
It's a government-run church.
I can totally understand that. Absolutely.
I will go to the pastor first and say, do you understand you don't need it?
Now, Joe, keep in mind, you've opened up a floodgate of phone calls. The board is full.
Aren't you glad I did that for you?
We'll see what they have to say. No, we're not afraid of anything.
We've enjoyed your call, but do you have a parting shot for us there,
yeah.
Joe?
Again, I'll get in touch with you. You have a voicemail there at the network?
Me, myself?
No, I mean the network, like John Statmiller is a voicemail.
I don't have a voicemail. I have a website and an email address.
Well, I'm not too good. Someone would have to send me it, and
can give you my phone number if you hang on, they'll give you my phone number.
Okay,
you can call
my
me.
My parting shot is, all I want to say is, and what do people who are in my position do, who want to get into business, get well, get the transdermal magnetic stimulation, get treatment for memory disorders and other things? We have nowhere to go. You know, we're stuck in the system, and I'm not blaming you.
No.
I hope you're right. I hope we can change this system around because we have nowhere to go. Products for the blind are very expensive. The computers are expensive. The screen readers are expensive, and they don't work that well.
Mm-hmm.
And the company just makes as much money as they can. Do you see what I mean? There has to be a check and a balance here.
I appreciate your thoughts, Joe.
Okay, I'd like his comment. I'll hear it on the radio.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the check and the balance is that private enterprise always solves problems better than government. It's full of waste. It's full of corruption when the government's involved. So anything that has happened well, either medically or technology-wise for the blind and people with numerous disabilities, the innovations have come from private enterprise, and that's where the answer is.
There you go. Okay, let's move on. The number, 800-313-9443. Let's take Sam in West Virginia. Sam, welcome.
How you doing, fellas?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, I've got a question. You mentioned earlier about not having a Social Security number.
That's correct.
Okay. Exactly. What do you do as far as it goes to get rid of one?
There are a number of people who have been emailing me regarding getting passports for citizens of the U.S. of A instead of the U.S. and all this stuff. We are going to put a report together. We're going through it now to make sure the process works so we can have the right contacts for people. It's actually a very long, involved process because once you're in, they don't want to give you up.
Right.
Okay, so you're absolutely correct that that's a problem. You basically have to sever your relations with the U.S. and serve the appropriate people. I don't want to go into a whole lot of that because it's a little bit of information that people are going to run out and probably get themselves in trouble with.
Uh-huh.
I'd prefer that, you know, and all the RBN listeners who've been emailing and stuff will just take it to heart that We are doing a report. We are going to let the people know this information once we've gotten it all done. And these processes have already been started since we've learned about them. So it can be done, and it's done the good old-fashioned legal way with proper notice and service.
One thing, now, I've done something like that. I didn't know because essentially the stuff I sent to IRS, Social Security Administration.
Were you at a gas station, Sam?
Yeah, I work in a shop. And they're running around here. Sorry.
All right.
Anyway, but I did something similar to that, and I told them who I was and who I was not. But
We actually found in the U.S. codes where it says you have to do what. Let me just leave it at that, and therefore we're doing it completely pursuant to the way Congress has told us we have to do it.
Are you going to put something on the NC Republic website?
Don't know if it'll go there or whether it'll come to RBN. But we are going to publish a book, report, whatever you want to call it. Because here's the problem. Because you can go and say, look, I want to get rid of my Social Security number, SSA, you know, Social Security Administration, go stuff it. That doesn't do it. We have found in the law where that is not enough. You have to do it a certain way. Then someone says, well, I don't have to go pay income taxes because I got rid of my Social Security number. Well, you go in front of a judge, he's going to test you. And if you don't know why, what you've done, what it did, how it worked, what the results are, what they're going to ask you, what to say, you're going to get in trouble.
Sam, I appreciate your call.
All right, hey, I look forward to hearing your seeing your book, your thing on it, because I'm really interested in it.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
We'll be back and continue with Ed. And listeners, welcome back to the broadcast. Ed Waller's the man today. NCRepublic.org is the website. The board is full. Let's move to John in Texas. Hello, John.
Hi, gentlemen. I really appreciate your show today. I live for Thursday afternoons. One question. Until your book comes out, I would be interested in knowing what other reading you might recommend just so that we can become more educated. I'm planning on ordering the Cracking the Code book, but just was curious as to whether you had any other recommendations or books that we could review until your book comes out.
Oh, goodness. I'm sure there's a number of very good ones. This particular issue has not been well explored, and that's why we're making the effort to not only provide the information, but if someone will read and study, we're going to put every court case in there that's pertinent, so in one place they can, you know, truly follow up and learn if they'll study about what we're talking about. On these particular topics, you know, The Rise and Fall of the Confederacy is a great book that talks about some of the stuff that happened during that time. There is something I can make available a little more quickly, and I guess I'll talk to John Stadmiller about it. John Ainsworth put together a book, and I edited it onto a CD. It goes through what happened through this whole Reconstruction period and how we began to lose our republic. Because it really did start back then. People are, you know, it's hard to believe, but it truly did. And until people begin to believe that the Supreme Court has been involved in this, and until 6 months ago I would have told you, nah, they've basically been good guys.
Hmm.
Now, they set this thing up with a number of court cases in the 30s. Other than that, I don't have a good answer for you, especially off the cuff. I'd probably have to do some poking around.
Let me ask you, Ed, what about the book Cracking the Code?
Well, he mentioned that one, so absolutely, please, everyone should read that and give it to all your neighbors.
How do the listeners get that book?
If they will get on to the website called Lost Horizons, and that is with an S, plural, losthorizons.com. They can order it right online. It is not available at Barnes & Noble, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pete Hendrickson is a wonderful man. I've emailed him for over a year. My name is in the inside jacket of that book because I was one of the first to read it and recognize his work was that good. So that will deal with the taxation issue, and if you'll understand the level of fraud the government has committed on that issue alone, it'll at least help you to understand what's going on.
Okay, right. That website's losthorizons.com?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
Very, very
super.
Good.
I appreciate it, and love your show.
Thank you. Okay, that was John in Texas. Listeners, the number, 800-313-9443. We move to Joel in South Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Yes, how you doing?
Fine.
I'm wondering if all this argument about the Social Security number is just extra burden on not only patrons but the courtrooms, when we could just knock them upside their head with the 14th Amendment problem.
Okay, let's hold on and think about that, and we'll be back at the conclusion of the commercial pause for the Free Enterprise Cause, listeners. And the pledge number is 800-724-2719 as well. 800-724-2719. Pledge your support to Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.